Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Hi, I'm Ashley, a true crime fanatic.
I'm Dan, and I don't know anything about true crime.
Together, we host Fuck That, a true crime podcast that covers cases that highlight important topics that are often overlooked, such as wrongful convictions, domestic violence, and social inequities, sprinkled in with the occasional case with spooky themes. If you are looking for your next true crime fix delivered candidly with a hint of sarcasm, you can listen and subscribe to bi-weekly episodes of Fuck That wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to give us a follow on Facebook and Twitter at FThatPod and at F_that_pod on Instagram.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent program. The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin. Philip Marlowe, the screen's most famous private detective, created by Raymond Chandler, brought to you on the air by Pepsodent, and starring MGM's brilliant and dynamic young actor, Van Heflin. Now families all over America have named their favorite toothpaste. New Pepsodent with Irium. New fresh-tasting Pepsodent with a new cool minty flavor. Yes, in a recent test, new Pepsodent was preferred 3-1 over any other toothpaste.
It's true. With families all over America, new Pepsodent is the favorite 3-1.
Families from coast to coast recently compared new Pepsodent with the toothpaste they were using at home. They preferred new Pepsodent by an overwhelming average of 3-1 over any other brand they tried. These families, 3-1, said new Pepsodent tastes better, makes breath cleaner, makes teeth brighter.
Yes, in a recent survey, families 3-1 said new Pepsodent tastes better, makes breath cleaner, makes teeth brighter.
Get new Pepsodent toothpaste for your family right away. Now, the adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin.
The moment old man Jeter came into my office, I made up my mind not to vote for him if he ever ran for president. He was tall and thin with straight, compressed white lips. He wore a neat pinstripe flannel suit with a small rosebud in the lapel. He carried an ebony cane, and he wore spats. He looked a smart 60, and unless his ulcers got nasty, I gave him another 15 years, which was pretty big of me. He sat down, speared me with those barbed gray eyes, and came right down to business.
Mr. Philip Marlowe, I believe?
That's right.
My name is Wadsworth Jeter.
How do you do, Mr. Jeter?
You're a private detective?
Well, why not?
Frankly, sir, I'd expected the Hollywood detective's office to be somewhat more glamorous, or rather more elegant, shall we say?
Well, Philo Vance has a branch office here on the fourth floor. If you're shopping around...
No, you'll do, I'm sure.
Well, my rate is $25 a day, plus expenses.
Money is no object.
Except when you don't have much of it.
That seems to be the motivating philosophy where Miss Harriet Huntress is concerned.
Who or whom is Miss Harriet Huntress?
A rather standard, rather obvious gold digger who wishes to marry Grover.
Hmm. You want to tell me who Grover is?
Grover is my adopted stepson, my late wife's son.
Go on.
Next year, he will inherit $1 million left him by his mother.
Which explains Miss Huntress's interest in Grover.
Precisely. Hmm.
Look, Mr. Jeter, am I being hired to smear Miss Harriet Huntress?
Not at all. Merely to disillusion Grover about her.
Yeah, well, that's the same thing. I think you'd better find yourself another boy.
Wait, there's more.
Okay, let's hear it.
Do you know a man named Marty Estelle?
Sure, he's a big-time gambler out on Sunset Strip. Why?
Mr. Estelle claims my son Grover owes him $50,000.
Well, then Grover'd better pay up if I know Marty Estelle.
But suppose my son doesn't really owe Estelle the money.
Does he or doesn't he?
Mr. Estelle supplied photostat copies of Grover's notes with Grover's signatures. I thought they might be forged, so without Grover's knowledge, I took them to a handwriting expert named John Arbogast, a sort of detective.
No?
He's not sure. He wants more time. I'd like you to take over the case.
Harriet Huntress and all.
Miss Huntress, as you may know, is associated with Mr. Estelle.
Well, that's incidental. I'll handle the forgery case and not the slander job. Now, where does this Arbogast have his office?
On Sunset near Ivar.
Okay, I'll look it up. Miss Huntress?
She lives at the El Milano on North Sycamore.
All right, I'll look her up, too. Arbogast and Huntress in the order named. There was no snooty secretary to prevent me from walking right into John D. Arbogast's extremely fat presence on Sunset near Ivar. He was an enormously fleshy gent with a thick neck that was in folds like a concertina. He wore a wrinkled dark suit that needed cleaning and some reweaving where it had some small holes in it. Arbogast just sat and stared at me with the whites of his eyes. Because those three holes that needed reweaving were bullet holes. And John D. Arbogast was dead. Very recently dead. I left in a hurry, and as far as I could tell, nobody saw me come, nobody saw me go. My next stop was the Swank El Milano Hotel on North Sycamore.
Just a second, mister. Something you want?
Yeah. Who are you?
I'm the house detective.
Well, I'm looking for a Miss Harriet Huntress.
Miss Huntress ain't seeing anyone.
You can tell her it's Marty Estelle.
Are you Marty Estelle?
I'm from him.
That's different, ain't it?
That's none of your business, is it?
Well, whatever you're up to, you're not playing it very smooth.
Well, some days I feel like playing it smooth, and some days I feel like playing it like a waffle iron. Well, if you must know, I'm one of the boys. Philip Marlowe, Private Eye. Here. It's my card.
Yeah, well, that's another story. I'll phone up to Miss Hunter.
Yeah, say I'm from Marty Estelle, and that make it convincing, huh?
How much convincing?
Oh, well, how much do those cigars you're smoking cost you?
$22.50, box of 50.
That much convincing.
Well, that's cute. You and me are going to get along. I'll phone Miss Huntress, but you go right on up. Room 814. I just know it'll be all right.
Huntress was too tall to be cute, too beautiful to be really cheap. Her green eyes were wide set, and there was plenty of thinking room between them. Her hair was a dusky red, like fire seen through a haze. The green eyes were that much green ice as she sized me up in the doorway.
Well, what's the big message, Sonny?
I'd have to come in. I never could speak very well in public.
Come in.
Never could speak very well on a dry throat, either.
There's the scotch. Help yourself.
Thank you.
So, you're from Marty Estelle.
No, not strictly, not even loosely. Not at all, in fact.
What's your racket?
No racket.
Marty will love to know you used his name.
I'm shaking in my shoes.
You're some kind of detective, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm Philip Marlowe. It's good to catch you.
I'm glad you like it. Now, what's your business?
All right. How much will you take to give up Grover?
You look smart, but you talk stupid.
Old man Jeter's pretty tough. His idea is that you get nothing. You get smeared. I don't see it that way. How much?
How about $50,000?
How about $500?
How about talking about the effect of the rain on the rhubarb?
Now, look, sister. Suppose we skip the footwork, considering the sobering fact that a man named John D. Arbogast has already been murdered in this little case.
Does that have anything to do with me?
I don't know. He was hired to analyze some notes Grover gave Marty Estelle. He was killed just after I took over the case.
Do you think Marty Estelle works that way?
You know him better than I do, does he?
Have you told the police yet?
No, I thought I'd see if I could make a deal with you first.
I'm going to tell you something. My people were nice people who never got involved in murders. Old Jeter ruined my father. My dad shot himself and my mother died of the shock. I'm going to fix Jeter for that someday, even if I have to marry his son to do it.
Adopted stepson, really, there's no relation at all.
It'll hurt Jeter just as hard. And the kid will have $1 million next year. I could do worse, even if he does drink too much.
You wouldn't want Grover to hear that now, would you?
No. Turn around and have a look, Gumshoe.
I turned fast. He stood about 4 feet from me. Big, blonde, powerful. Whiskey in his brain and blood in his eyes.
I can say anything I want around Grover. It's all right with him. Isn't it, Grover?
That's right, Harry.
He's trying to break us up, Grover. What do you think of that?
I think maybe I better break him up. That's what I think of that.
She laughed, and that made me mad. I turned to glower at her. It was a dirty look. It was the look of the month. That was a mistake. The big guy hit me. I went over sideways. It wasn't a hard punch, but my head hit a desk going down, and the desk got the decision. It gets dark fast in Southern California, but seldom that fast. When I came out of it, Grover, the blonde sucker puncher, and Harriet Huntress were gone. But the bottle of scotch was still there, so I took that for a souvenir and stuffed it in my pocket and floated down the elevator into the street. It was dark by the time I got back to my apartment on Hobart Avenue in Hollywood. I turned on the light, and there stood a big guy, another big guy. This was National Big Guy Week. This one had a big nose, the dead color of wax, and he had a .22 caliber Colt Woodsman pointed straight at me.
Close the door and reach. Come on.
I turned a little to close the door. I got my hand under my coat. Then I turned back to Wax Nose fast. I had my Luger out. We stood there facing each other. Wax Nose didn't seem at all impressed with my automatic.
I just came to tell you to be smart.
You're looking at a Luger, mister.
Yeah, I know. Men of distinction carry Lugers. Me, I pack this small bore because I can shoot. If you think you can take me, go to it.
Now, look, what's the game?
Maybe you can take a hint, and maybe you can't.
Maybe, maybe not. What is it?
Lay off, old cheaters, boy.
Well, I wouldn't think of contradicting anyone who uses a Colt Woodsman 22 with the front sight filed off. Must think he's pretty good.
I am good.
Yeah, and that's why I say, okay, pal.
We'll see.
Speaking of 22s, do you know anybody named John Arbogast?
I meet such a lot of people.
Well, this one was fat and shot 3 times with a .22.
I don't remember shooting no fat guys today. So long, chum. Remember what I told you. Lay off, Grover. So long, chum.
Yeah. Swell. Ah, shut up. Yeah.
Mr. Marlowe? Oh, Mr. Jeter. Well, your son or your adopted son or your stepson or whatever he is poked me in the jaw today.
He is both my stepson and my adopted son.
Well, both of them poked me in the jaw.
My word, where?
In Miss Huntress's apartment.
You spoke to her? What did she say?
She wants 50 grand and no dice. I offered her 500. Just as a gag.
Just as a gag? Mr. Marlowe, perhaps you underestimate the importance of this matter.
Listen, Mr. Jeter, there are some very unusual angles to this case. For example, a gunman just stuck me up in my own apartment and told me to stay off of this case.
What?
I don't see why this case should get so tough.
Good heavens. Listen, Mr. Marlowe, my chauffeur, Waldo, will pick you up in my limousine. I want to talk to you.
All right. I'll tell Waldo to park on Hobart facing Franklin.
He'll be around for you in 20 minutes.
Good. Just give me time to drink my dinner. Bye-bye.
I sat next to Waldo, the chauffeur, as he tooled the big Jeter limousine through Hollywood, along the glitter of the Sunset Strip, out past Beverly Hills toward Bel Air. At Covello Drive, we swung left for a couple of hundred yards, then left again, aiming for a driveway flanked by 12-foot wrought iron gates. Then something happened. Someone was standing in the glare of our headlights. Waldo swore and slammed on the brake shelf.
You stupid! Go and get out of the driveway!
A man stepped toward us. And the next minute, there was that same Colt 22 staring into my face again.
All right, this is a heist. Get out of the car, both of you.
Look, Waxnose, haven't you had enough fun for one night?
Buzz off, bum.
Shut up and get out.
I'd have to think some more on that, Buster.
I'm warning you, I'll let you have it.
Don't be a goon, you're going.
All right, you asked for it.
Hey! Hold. You shot the guy.
Yeah. I shot him. It was this. All in fun.
Yeah, some fun.
It did the work. Jeter's house is right ahead.
You sound as if you just shot a nickel in a pinball machine instead of a man. Now listen, turn off those lights and let's get out of here, but fast.
You are listening to The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin. Yes, families all over America have named their favorite toothpaste. New Pepsodent with invigorating Irium foam. New fresh-tasting Pepsodent with a new, cool, minty flavor. In a recent test, New Pepsodent was preferred 3-1 over any other toothpaste.
It's true. Families all over America say New Pepsodent is their favorite 3-1.
The William Kilpatrick family, 212 South Missouri, Claremore, Oklahoma, preferred New Pepsodent on every single count. The Kilpatricks say New Pepsodent tastes best of all, makes breath cleaner, makes teeth brighter. On all these counts, by an overwhelming average of 3-1, families prefer New Pepsodent over any other toothpaste they tried.
It's a fact. Families 3-1 say New Pepsodent tastes better, makes breath cleaner, and makes teeth brighter.
Remember, this is not just our opinion. It's the honest conviction of the Kilpatricks and other families who are asked to compare New Pepsodent with the toothpaste they were using at home. Get New Pepsodent, the only toothpaste containing Irium. Get it for your family without delay. We continue with The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin, who appears by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Romance of Rosie Ridge, starring Van Johnson.
I drove back to my apartment again, leaving Waxnose lying dead in the Jeter driveway. We went back to my place to start all over again, over what was left of my purloined scotch.
Yeah, this is good scotch you've got here, Marlowe.
Bench bottle.
Not this.
Sure, I benched it from the apartment of Harriet Huntress.
Well, bottoms up.
Waldo, do you think that gunman was there to scare young Grover into realizing Marty Estelle means business?
Could be. I always drove Grover home around that time.
I think it doesn't sound like Marty Estelle to pick that sort of a helper.
Well, sure. Maybe that's why he picked him. Because it didn't seem like Marty Estelle.
Yeah. That's good thinking, Waldo.
Dartmouth, 37. Rah, rah, rah.
That would be either the cops or Mr. Jeter. Hello.
Mr. Mono?
Yes, Mr. Jeter, and the reason we're not in your study now is lying outside of your front gate.
What's that you're saying?
Somebody jumped us outside of your gate and Wallace shot him dead.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Listen, Marlowe, come here at once. Do you hear? At once.
I'll send Waldo, Mr. Jeter.
I want to see you.
Waldo will tell you all about it, Mr. Jeter.
Marlowe.
Good night, Mr. Jeter. After Waldo, the chauffeur, had left, I went back to the El Milano Hotel. Hawkins, the house stick, was all smiles and open palms. I placed no confidence in his smile and a $20 bill in his palm.
Harriet Huntress again? What's the matter?
Just take me up to her apartment, that's all, huh?
Yeah, sure. Right this way, fella.
Hawkins took me to the 8th floor, room 814, and opened the door. There was someone in the room, waiting.
Here's company for you, Mr. Estelle.
Beat it, Hawkins.
Yeah, this is the guy I was telling you about, Mr. Estelle. Come in earlier today. Said he was from you.
Beat it, I said.
Oh, sure.
Come on in, Marlo.
I came to see Miss Huntress, not you, Estelle.
Well, first of all, Harriet's not home. I came to tell her what happened outside of Jeter's gate.
Hmm. So you keep informed.
I can't wait for her any longer. Got to get back to the casino. Well, then, what did you come back for, Marlo?
I'm looking for the Jeter boy. After what happened to him tonight, he needs somebody to walk behind him.
You think I'd play games like that?
All I know is we were shot at.
I asked you a question.
I answered it to the best of my knowledge.
What knowledge, for example?
Well, for example, you hold $50,000 worth of Grover's notes for gambling debts.
I've got $50,000 invested in the kid. Would I be likely to bump him off?
Ah. That makes sense, all right.
I always make sense.
Oh, bully for you.
When I have 50 grand invested in a guy, I'm apt to find out all about him. Like about old Jeter hiring a man named Arbogast to work for him.
Huh?
Arbogast was shot today. You knew it. I know because I had you followed. You didn't tell the law, Marlo. That could be very hard on you.
Well, could.
Does that make you and me friends?
A little blackmail, huh?
Not much.
We'll call it tattletale grail mail.
From now on, do you stop bothering Miss Huntress?
Hey, you win, Marty.
Well, that's all. I've got to go.
Well, I'll just wait around for bed, okay?
Well, Harriet Scotch is in that cabinet there.
Thanks. I'll roll up my pants and go waiting in it.
You know, Marla, I like you. You're cute. So long, Shabbat.
Marty Estelle was right. He wouldn't kill anybody who owed him money and was soon to come into a lot of it. Now I was in bed with the police for not reporting Arbogast's murder. Well, I looked around Harriet's apartment vaguely, walked into the bedroom, and stopped. Because mixed with the fragrance of good perfume and good cosmetics was the plain, ordinary, homespun odor of gunpowder. I walked across the room and yanked open the closet door and stepped back. There, just as big as life, but as dead as they ever come, was young Grover Jeter. And at Grover's feet, among the graceful shoes in Harriet's closet, was a tiny, pearl-handled automatic. I felt bad about that, because I guessed that the dainty holes, the bullets from that dainty gun, would fit the two dainty holes over Grover's heart. I put the neat little pistol in my pocket. I thought old man Jeter ought to know about his son, I thought. I didn't expect to find Waldo, the chauffeur, and Harriet Huntress with old Jeter in Jeter's big study, but there they were.
Why, Mr. Marlowe, I'd about given up hoping to see you tonight.
Well, I changed my mind about coming out again, Mr. Jeter. Uh-oh, Waldo.
Why, Marlowe?
Didn't expect to see you here, Miss Huntress.
Didn't you?
Did you expect to see me here?
Never mind that, Marlowe. I want to know where my son is.
What do you mean, Mr. Jeter?
He's missing. That's what I mean.
Oh.
He's missing and no one knows where he is.
I know.
Eh?
What's that?
Where, Marlowe?
Miss Huntress, where did you and Grover go after Grover took that sucker punch at me in your apartment?
We went out together in a taxi. During the ride, I had a change of heart. I didn't want Grover or Grover's money. I told Grover to find another playmate, and I got out in Beverly Hills. Grover went on in the taxi.
Where did you go?
Back to my apartment. Later, I got out my car to come down here and tell Mr. Jeter I decided to forget the whole thing. For him to call off his dime novel sleuth.
A dime will no longer buy a novel of any description, but that is beside the point.
You said you knew where Grover is. That's not beside the point, is it, Mr. Mallow?
He's back in Harriet's apartment.
Well, I didn't let him in. How on earth could
he? Hawkins, your house detective, let him in. The last I saw of Grover, he is dead.
Oh, what? What's that?
Dead. Dead. Shot with a small caliber gun.
I can't believe it. I can't.
Grover's dead?
Miss Huntress, this 25 caliber pistol was on the floor at Grover's feet. Here, take it. Look it over, will you?
Mine.
You murderess. You...
I'm not.
You cold-blooded murderess.
Oh, stop that.
Stop it, both of you. It could have been suicide.
Suicide? Well, yes. That's a possibility, of course.
I see you like that idea, Jeter. But it wasn't suicide.
Then she did it. The murderess. The scheming, contemptible...
It was murder, and it's fairly obvious who did it, Jeter.
Eh?
Marty Estelle is my guess.
Well, guess again, Waldo. Estelle had $50,000 invested in Grover. He wouldn't kill a golden goose like that. And Waxnose didn't do it because he was dead, thanks to Waldo here.
That leaves her. She did it.
There had to be a motive and an opportunity.
Well, it was her apartment after all.
Correct, Waldo. But Grover was Jeter's adopted stepson.
Oh, like a real son he was to me. A real
son. Yeah, yeah. But did you lovely people know that in the state of California, a man can inherit from an adopted son who has money and who gets dead? Did you know that, Mr. Jeter?
Why, what do you mean?
Your inheriting Grover's $1 million would be a motive for killing him, wouldn't it?
Mr. Marlowe!
That was the motive, Jeter, and it was Waldo's job to find the opportunity to murder Grover for you.
All right, Marlowe. That'll be all for you.
Well, Waldo, the Dartmouth gun fanner.
Drop that gun, Waldo.
Shut up.
I said drop it.
Hey, that's nice shooting, Harriet.
My hand.
Well, Pop will put a little Band-Aid on for you, Waldo.
Waldo, you could have gotten into my apartment wearing that chauffeur's uniform. You could have gone in through the garage entrance and up the back way.
Sure. When Grover let him in, he backed Grover into the room with his gun, but he shot him with yours. How much was Jeter going to pay you for this job, Waldo?
Don't talk, Waldo. He's bluffing.
You're telling me he's bluffing.
Nice kids, these college boys. Tell me, was it Dartmouth or Dannemora, Waldo?
Shut up, copper.
You killed John Arbogast to throw suspicion on Marty Estelle. Then you hired Waxnose to fake a holdup on Grover. Why? Again, to throw suspicion on Marty Estelle. To make it look as though Estelle was trying to scare Grover into paying his gambling debts.
If I hired Waxnose, why would I have shot him tonight?
Because you like to kill people, Waldo. When I was brought out here tonight, Waxnose thought I was Grover in the car. He began to fake his holdup. But you just couldn't resist taking one of your snappy snapshots at Waxnose, could you, Waldo?
Shut up.
Could you? Next. Mr. Wadsworth Jeter.
Look here, Mallow. You can't accuse me of...
Doctor. He's sick.
Call a doctor.
Hit his heart. If Jeter dies, it's your fault, Mallow.
Okay, Waldo. Tell you what I'll do, Waldo. If Jeter dies, he doesn't have to pay me my fee. We're even. Okay, Waldo? Harriet Angel, listen, go call the doctor. And while you're there, call the law, huh? Heart was as good as mine, if you want to make anything out of that. The law had Jeter and Waldo cold, and I mean cold. Me? Well, I went out a couple of times with Harriet, as I sat home with her a couple of times drinking her scotch. It was nice, all right, but I didn't have the money or the clothes or the manners. Still, I was sorry when she went to New York to live. She had absolutely the best scotch I ever tasted. Maybe because it was free. I don't know.
You have just heard Van Heflin, starring in the mystery series Raymond Chandler's The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, brought to you by the Lever Brothers Company, makers of Pepsodent. Van Heflin will return in just a moment. Have you tasted the new Pepsodent toothpaste? Its lingering, minty flavor is so fresh and inviting, families prefer it by an overwhelming average of 3-1 over any other toothpaste they tried. In a recent nationwide test, these families said new Pepsodent tastes better,
makes breath cleaner and makes teeth brighter. Remember, new Pepsodent gives you more invigorating irium foam. It sweeps dulling film away. No wonder it's the 3-to-1 favorite with families all over America. Get new Pepsodent with irium for your family right away. Now, here is our star, Van Heflin.
The need for food in Europe tonight is desperate. Starvation faces a multitude of our fellow men. There's a way you can help. For $10, a package containing 21 and a half pounds of food will be sent for you to a friend or a relative or any member of an organization you designate in Europe. Or simply say to a little French girl or to a Belgian war widow. Your order will be strictly respected and you'll receive a signed receipt from the person who received your gift. Send $10 now. Send all you can. Send your $10 to CARE. C-A-R-E. CARE, New York. Help keep America the hope of the world.
Tonight's story was adapted by Milton Geiger from the story Trouble Is My Business by Raymond Chandler, creator of Philip Marlowe, the screen's most famous private detective. The original music was composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. This is Wendell Niles inviting you to listen again next week at this same time to another exciting mystery on the adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin with a distinguished cast. NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year. Lever Brothers Company presents the Pepsodent program, The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin. Philip Marlowe, the screen's most famous private detective, created by Raymond Chandler and brought to you on the air by Pepsodent, and starring MGM's brilliant and dynamic young actor, Van Heflin. Now, families all over America have named their favorite toothpaste New Pepsodent with Irium. New, fresh-tasting Pepsodent with a new, cool, minty flavor. Yes, in a recent test, New Pepsodent was preferred 3-1 over any other toothpaste.
It's true. With families all over America, New Pepsodent is the favorite 3-1.
Families from coast to coast recently compared New Pepsodent with a toothpaste they were using at home. They preferred New Pepsodent by an overwhelming average of 3-1 over any other brand they tried. These families, 3-1, said New Pepsodent tastes better, makes breath cleaner, makes teeth brighter.
Yes, in a recent survey, families 3-1 said New Pepsodent tastes better, makes breath cleaner, makes teeth brighter.
Get New Pepsodent toothpaste for your family right away. Now we invite you to hear Van Heflin as the Hollywood private eye, Philip Marlowe.
Quiet.
Quiet.
You there, Marlowe. What? Quiet.
Oh, I'm sorry. Quiet, you're on a bell.
All right. Roll them.
Speed.
Action.
Oh, Robin, my dear. Don't you remember me? For all that my hair is cut so short.
Mary. Maid Marian.
Your very own Maid Marian, Robin, dearest.
Friar Tuck, Little John, free Englishmen, archers all. It's Maid Marian.
Good. That's it. Print it.
All right. That's a wrap up here. Move over to stage 3.
They were filming a new Technicolor version of Robin Hood over at the big studios in Santa Monica Boulevard, and I was there on salary at the request of the director of the picture. Robin Hood and Maid Marian came off the set. Robin Hood was a magnificent sight in his Lincoln green and carrying that big English longbow and quiver of arrows. Maid Marian in her slinkily cut medieval white gown was something to make more than an arrow whistle. They spied me and walked over to me quickly.
Mr. Philip Marlowe?
Yeah, that's right.
My name is Seward Spencer.
Yeah, I know.
This is my leading lady, Jenny Kane.
Yeah, I know.
How do you do, Mr. Marlowe?
Yeah, how do you do, Miss Kane?
Let's go over to stage 9 and talk, shall we, Marlowe?
Talk? Every time I open my mouth on one of these sets, somebody hollers, quiet.
Quiet!
You see? Whatever happened to free speech in America? In Hollywood, anyway.
Stage 9 isn't a set. It's a little cafe across the street on Santa Monica.
Oh.
A lot to talk about, Marlowe.
Yeah, I know.
Let's go. You see, Marlowe, Demetro Sator, my director, hired you for what is to me a very embarrassing reason.
It seems I'm supposed to protect you.
And I feel very well able to take care of myself.
Well, it's not safe with that half-mad brother of yours at large.
Did Mr. Sator tell you the whole story, Marlowe?
He said for me to get it from you.
Well, it was my fault that we ever sent for Caxton. But he's my brother, and he looks like me, and he's an absolutely terrific archer.
Seward here is much better looking, though.
Seward is the bow, but Caxton is the bowman, huh?
Well, they could have faked the scenes where I'm supposed to perform marvels of archery, but, well, we were all against that. Then I remembered my brother, a sporting goods salesman in Philadelphia, and the champion archer.
And so you suggested that they send for Caxton to double for you in the shooting scenes, huh?
Yes. In spite of the fact that Caxton hates the sight of him.
And go on.
I told Mr. Sador he could get the shots he needed with Caxton doubling for me. I'd go to my lodge at Big Bear during those 3 days.
Caxton always resented Seward here because he made good and Caxton didn't.
Now, let's see. There was something about Caxton leaving Hollywood, only not leaving Hollywood. What about that?
Well, he never picked up the return ticket that the studio reserved for him at the airport.
You figure that Caxton's still in town then, huh?
Definitely.
You think he'd pick a fight with you?
He picked a fight with Freddie Cole.
Who's Freddie Cole?
A perfectly harmless makeup man on the lot. And all Freddie asked was for Caxton to wear brown contact lenses over his eyes so he'd look like Seward here for the medium close-ups.
My brother has blue eyes, you see.
And he wouldn't wear the brown contact lenses, huh?
No, he refused flatly. He said, let my big-shot brother wear blue contact lenses.
What an unreasonable creature.
I don't know. It sounds reasonable to me. You said that he fought with a makeup man, huh?
Yes, but not for long. Freddie's half Caxton's size, but he knocked my brother kicking.
Ooh. I suppose your brother swore to get him for that.
How did you know?
I don't know. Instinct.
Philip Morrow.
Oh.
Philip Morrow.
Mr. Sedar, here.
No, Mr. Morrow, this is terrible. Simply terrible. They just found Fred Cole in Sherwood Forest. He's been shot.
Shot?
Oh. What? How? Who?
I don't know who. But there's 2 feet of arrow sticking out of his back.
Oh.
You better show me where Fred is, Mr. Sedar. Come on, let's go on the double. Sherwood Forest is a wood where Doug Fairbanks Sr. made the silent version of Robin Hood, and they've called it that ever since. Freddie Cole was lying across the steps of the trailer that served as a field makeup room in Sherwood Forest. Mr. Sader's information was not correct. There were not 2 feet of arrow sticking out of Freddie's back. It was less than 18 inches. A bow of terrific power had done that job. Another trailer stood across the clearing from Freddie's body about 100 yards away. I walked through the clearing and knocked on the door.
Yes, sir?
The name's Philip Marlowe. I'm a private detective.
Oh, it's about poor Freddie.
That's right.
Come in, come in.
Thank you. Well, I see.
This trailer's my workshop, Mr. Marlowe.
You have a regular arsenal of bows and arrows in here, haven't you?
Yes, sir. I make and repair bows and arrows for the men in the picture.
Say, it's about 100 yards from here to where Freddie was shot, isn't it?
Just about.
Did you ever service the bow of Caxton Spencer, the star's brother?
I did.
Powerful weapon?
Very.
Good shot?
Very.
Bad man?
Yes, very.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thanks, Dad. I'll see you.
What was that you said?
I said, I'll see you.
You call me something.
Oh. Oh, Dad.
Yes. So long, Mr. Marlowe.
So long, Dad.
So long, son. So long.
Murder on this lot is bad enough, but an unsolved murder is worse. I'm very worried.
About your star, Seward Spencer, hmm?
Among other things, Mr. Marlowe.
Why does Spencer, why doesn't he leave town while this homicidal brother of his is still around?
Oh, he wouldn't go even if I asked him. Besides, every day lost now means money, and the bank wouldn't tolerate any more delays making this picture.
Any more delays? Have there been delays?
I started making Robin Hood 4 years ago. I got the sets built and then had to stop because I couldn't find the ideal man to play Robin Hood.
What was the ideal type of the promise, sir?
Well, he had to be romantic, good-looking, powerful.
And it would have been helpful if he could shoot a longbow, huh?
Yes, yes.
Well, Seward Spencer couldn't shoot a longbow 4 years ago any better than he can today. Now, why didn't you hire him 4 years ago?
He wasn't a big enough star then.
Oh, he's big enough now, though.
Tremendous. He's another Gable.
So he doesn't have to know how to shoot a longbow now.
No, especially since his brother, who resembles him closely, could shoot a longbow.
Tell me, where did Spencer stay while his brother was whooping it up here at the studio?
Spencer had a lodge up at the Big Bear. Why? Any ideas?
Maybe. Look, Spencer is known all over the world, right?
That is correct.
Now, his double would have a hard time hiding out unless he hid in places where people expected Seward to be, right?
I hadn't thought about it.
Where exactly is Spencer's lodge at Big Bear?
You think his brother may be up there posing as Spencer?
I don't know. It's an idea. Where did you say that lodge was now?
Come on.
It was a peachy hunch, and I was proud of it. Proud. Only, no one answered my knock when I got up to Spence's lodge at Big Bear. Getting in without a key was relatively small punkins. But it didn't pay off until I opened a closet door under a staircase. A body didn't fall out, but something else fell out, and I grabbed it before it hit the floor. It was a beautiful example of the bowmaker's art, curved and recurved and polished like glass under the thin layer of dust. I looked closely at the maker's name because I was beginning to get an idea. And then the grandfather of all hornets zinged past my ear. A fraction of an inch from my cheek quivered the shaft of a wicked-looking arrow, its steel head almost buried in the solid oak paneling behind me. A man was standing in the open doorway.
Now then, Mr. Marlowe.
Hey, what's the idea?
Make a move towards your gun, Marlowe, and I'll pin your hand to the wall.
Caxton.
Yes.
Caxton Spencer, right?
Yeah.
He's a little taller than his celebrated brother. His cheeks were a little more sunken, and his eyes, unlike his brother's, were an icy, glassy, deadly blue. He shot that second arrow as fast as I could think. Believe it or not, that second arrow split the first one right down to the head. There was another thing about this lad that was different from Seward Spencer. He could shoot a longbow. Brother, could he shoot a longbow.
Well, aren't you going to reach for your gun?
Well, Robin Hoodlum of Sherwood Forest, huh?
You know what might be fun? A contest. The old versus the new. Medieval archer versus 20th century gunman.
You know, you're just as crazy as your brother thinks you are.
I see Seward's been talking too much again.
Look, Caxton, tell me just one thing.
You've got your archers mixed up. I'm Robin Hood, remember? Not William Tell.
What was this dusty bow doing in the closet?
That's mine.
Well, how did it get in this closet?
I was out here 4 years ago.
Oh, you and your brother were a little friendlier then, huh?
My brother wasn't such a big shot then.
Beginning to get it. Your brother sent for you 4 years ago to teach him how to shoot. You were looking for someone to play Robin Hood. Your brother wasn't a big enough name then, but he figured if he learned to shoot a longbow well enough, it might make up for other shortcomings.
Not bad, genius.
The Robin Hood picture was shelved before Seward could learn to shoot, so now he had to send for you again, but you had to quarrel with Freddie Cole and plant an arrow between his shoulder blades.
Maybe somebody was celebrating Arbor Day and planting things.
That's very amusing, Caxton. But let me say this.
Don't say anything. Just get off this case, understand?
Else what?
Else this. Only next time, 4 inches more to the left. Catch?
I catch.
All right, don't forget it. Just don't you forget it. So long.
So long. Keep your bows clean. Hello, operator. Operator, this is a police call. Connect me with the Santa Monica Boulevard studios of Rheingold Pictures. I want to talk to a Mr. Seward Spencer. It's a matter of life and death. And that's no mere figure of speech.
You are listening to The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin. Yes, families all over America have named their favorite toothpaste. New Pepsodent with invigorating Irium foam. New fresh-tasting Pepsodent with a new, cool, minty flavor. In a recent test, new Pepsodent was preferred 3-1 over any other toothpaste.
It's true. Families all over America say new Pepsodent is their favorite. It's a fact. Families 3-1. Say new Pepsodent tastes better, makes breath cleaner, and makes teeth brighter.
Remember, this is not just our opinion. It's the honest conviction of the Paines and other families who are asked to compare new Pepsodent with a toothpaste they were using at home. Get new Pepsodent, the only toothpaste containing Irium. Get it for your family without delay. We continue with The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin, who appears by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Romance of Rosie Ridge, starring Van Johnson.
I couldn't reach Seward Spencer at the studio to tell him that his brother was around and on the warpath. hung up for a second. Then I tried something else, just for fun, just another hunch. Hello, operator. Give me Western Union, please. It was late afternoon, and therefore too late to telephone Philadelphia on account of the time difference. I sent my telegram and gave my apartment address back in Hollywood for the answer that I expected in the morning. Then I drove back to Hollywood. It was dark when I gave up trying to locate Seward Spencer, but a bright moon was climbing the sky by the time I got to the archery trailer on location in Sherwood Forest.
Yeah?
Hello, Dad.
Oh, Mr. Marlowe. Come in, Philip. Come in.
Thanks.
I'll leave the door open for a breath of air.
If you don't mind a late visitor.
Mind? I'm crazy about it. It's mighty lonely, Philip.
Yeah, it would out here in this wilderness.
Yeah, it does any place for old people. Oh, can I offer you some hot coffee, son?
Well, thanks, Dad. I'd appreciate it, but I'd rather have some information out of you.
What is it, my boy?
Tell me, is it possible for an expert archer to conceal the fact that he's deaf with a longbow?
I think so.
Well, can he conceal the fact that he can handle a bow at all?
Oh, no, no. No matter how clumsy he was, he'd be too clumsy.
Oh, I get it. Like a guilty man trying to look innocent, he overdoes it. Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Look, Dad, I'm going to pick up a bow, and I'm going to string it, put an arrow in it, and draw it. Now, I want you to stop me at any point where you can tell that I can't shoot a bow.
All right.
All right, I pick up this bow here.
You can stop now.
Well, I didn't do anything yet.
You picked up the bow, and you're holding it upside down.
You mean there's an upside and a downside to these things? Does it matter?
It matters very much.
You might at least have played along with me a minute. After all, even a detective has his pride, you know.
You asked me to stop you, and I did.
Oh, sure. I was just kidding you, Dad. Dad, is anything wrong?
No, nothing wrong. Excuse me. It's just that everybody else calls me Pop.
Oh, well, look now, if you'd rather I call you
No,
Dad,
no, I hate it. It's what smart, strong young people call old fellas like me, Pop. Treating us like children. Old folks ain't idiots.
Who says they are, Dad?
No, Dad, that's different. It's got respect and love in it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we keep on calling you.
You see, I haven't any children. Not anymore.
Oh?
I had a daughter, but not anymore.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, no, it's not what you think. She's alive. She just didn't want anybody to know she had me for a father.
What?
Just like she didn't want anybody to know she was married to a plain makeup man at the studio. It might hurt her career, her doggone old career.
Dad, is your daughter in pictures?
She's in this picture. She's playing Maid Marian.
Jenny Kane is your daughter?
Yes, and I'm telling you because you treat an old man respectful.
Well, how could Jenny be your daughter and be so different?
Well, people are like Bo's son, the same flesh and bone and blood, but entirely different. Now, look at this graceful little bow here. English yew wood. Pulls only 40 measly pounds, but it'll shoot as straight and as far as that 85-pound bow made out of the same material. Why? Workmanship and design. In people, it's called character.
And your girl Jenny got too big for Freddie, your makeup man husband, huh?
Too big for him and too good for me.
Dad, is Jenny in love with Seward Spencer?
Son, the girl's vain and proud and foolish, but she didn't kill Freddy. She couldn't pull that size bow.
But you just said that a 40-pound bow of good design will do the work of much heavier bows.
She didn't do it, boy.
All right, all right. Look, you've seen Seward shoot after a fashion. Does he handle a bow like a man who could do better but is concealing his real skill? Dad?
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking if Seward Spencer loved my girl, but she already had a husband that had to be got rid of.
I'm asking you if Seward is faking his clumsiness with a longbow.
No, son. The lad just can't handle a bow. He's the world's greenest archer.
Well, then that puts the rap right back on his brother Caxton, I guess. He had a motive. He threatened Fred Cole.
Marlowe! I thought I told you something a few hours ago.
I spun around. Caxton Spencer stood outside of the trailer in the yellow light flowing out of the doorway. He stood there casually, and casually balancing that powerful longbow in his left hand.
I wondered how he'd found me here, of all places, hours after he'd left me at his brother's mountain lodge. He took a step near the trailer door.
I told you to get off the case, didn't I?
Why, it just slipped my mind. Now, what do you want?
I went back to the lodge after you left.
Yeah?
You sent a telegram to Philadelphia.
Maybe.
Not maybe, you did. I got the reply.
That reply wasn't going to come in until morning into my apartment.
Slight error, genius. You wired the public directory of Philadelphia asking about Caxton Spencer. It so happens they have a department that's open all night. They wired back to the lodge. Funny thing, Marlowe. They say that no one named Caxton Spencer lives in Philadelphia.
How did you find me here?
I called the big director, Mr. Sador. He said you might be out here.
That's funny. I knew that Sador never would have told that voice my whereabouts. He'd have called the police. I looked with new interest at Caxton standing just outside of the trailer doorway. My examination got down to his shoes. The shoes were almost new, and his ankles were a full inch and a half above the tops of his Oxfords. Caxton Spencer was wearing elevator shoes to make him look taller.
Well, figured me out yet, Marlowe?
I put it all together. I put it together fast. Caxton moved. He whipped an arrow into his bow, and my left leg shot out and kicked the door of the trailer shut. I jumped to the window and opened fire.
Did you get him, son?
No, I missed him. Missed him a mile. He's beat it now.
Can't you see him anywhere?
No. I don't know. The moonlight out there and those bushes. Turn out the lights.
Got us on the hook, Hank.
Turn out the lights and get down on the floor.
Got him. Got him.
Get down. Get out.
All right. All right.
We're safe in here. He can't shoot through these walls. He's good, but he's not that good.
Don't know, son.
What do you mean you don't know?
Might. He could get to us even in here.
With a bow and arrow?
He's smart and he's mean and he knows his way around this here forest. He
can't shoot through this trailer.
He can shoot through the windows.
Well, we don't have to stand at the windows.
He don't have to hit us.
I don't get it.
We got some scenes a while back while Caxton was with us. Robin Hood's men shooting flaming arrows into some old castle.
Flaming arrows?
Arrows soaked in pitch and set on fire. Old medieval custom.
Oh, fine.
And there's plenty of that pitch still around here.
Where?
Out yonder, barrels of it. What did I tell you? There it is. There's the first of your flaming arrows.
Come on, let's put it out.
He'll pick us off if we try that.
Well, then let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's just do that.
Look, I'll go out first. You follow me and lose yourself someplace, you understand?
Old folks ain't idiots.
All right, follow me. Now keep low.
Right after you, son.
Keep low now.
Yes.
All right, run for it. We dashed into the moonlight. A hornet clipped my cheek and whanged into the wall of the trailer. Run, Dad! Lose yourself!
See you later, son. See you later.
I dropped to the ground and didn't move, but my eye measured the angle of that last arrow in the side of the trailer and the direction it had come from. I raised myself on my elbow and fired back. Ah, wise guy, huh? Oh, that dirty... Reload, Marlowe. Come on, reload, reload.
Just furnishing you an extra thrill, Marlowe.
Oh, you...
Or is that one getting stale, Marlowe?
Two shots left. Two shots.
I've got two more arrows, Marlowe. That means one more is for fun... And the last one's for real, huh?
One shot left. One shot, one.
Now, Marlowe, any last words? Any brave, quotable quotes? Any remarks for posterity?
You cheap 10, 20, 30 ham! Waited for the laughter, the taunting, baked ham laughter. It didn't come. I waited with my empty gun clenched in my fist. He was coming toward me. He knew I'd fired 14 shots and that I was finished. He could hit me from any distance. Why was he moving in on me? What was new? What was dirty with Caxton now? jumped to my feet and drew back my arm to throw my gun at the first thing that walked out of those bushes ahead of me.
Don't throw it, son.
What?
Hold it.
Oh, Dad.
You all right, son?
Where's Caxton?
Dead.
I got him, then. With my last shot, I got him.
Hate to disappoint a smart young lad like you, son.
Oh, no, you said he's dead.
I didn't say you killed him.
What?
He's got a 28-inch arrow in his chest. Looks good, too.
How did you...
I followed you out of the trailer, I grabbed some arrows and that 40-pound bow. I've been hunting, son.
And let me tell you, for what? There never was a Caxton Spencer.
Do tell.
Caxton Spencer fought against wearing brown contact lenses over his eyes for a very good reason. He was already wearing blue contact lenses. Seward Spencer never had a brother. He'd learned to shoot a longbow 4 years ago, but he kept it a secret when they finally decided to film Robin Hood. He had a better use for his skill with a bow. He was already planning Fred Cole's murder and invented a non-existent brother to pin the murder on.
Clever, very clever. I knew it all the time.
What?
That's what.
Well, then why did you tell me that Seward Spencer couldn't shoot?
Seward Spencer corrupted my girl and turned her against her rightful husband and her daddy. I wanted to get him myself.
And you did.
Fair and square and in defense of an officer of law.
That's right.
Well, I see that flaming arrow trick fizzled. It went out.
Oh, yeah, so it did.
Like to step inside and have that coffee now, son?
I sure would.
Then come on.
You know, like you said, Dad.
Watch your step.
Just like you told me, old folks aren't fools. Not by a long shot, Dad.
You have just heard Van Heflin starring in the mystery series Raymond Chandler's The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, brought to you by the Lever Brothers Company, makers of Pepsodent. Van Heflin will return in just a moment.
Men, here's an important announcement. News about a sensational hair tonic discovery. It's Trim Hair Tonic, made by Pepsodent. For the first time, science has created a hair tonic with pure virgin olive oil. There's no finer hair and scalp conditioner. Yes, because it contains pure virgin olive oil, Trim Hair Tonic conditions your scalp as it grooms your hair. Get new Trim Hair Tonic during the big 1 cent introductory sale at toilet goods counters now. Two 60-cent bottles, $1.20 value, only 61 cents. Ask for Trim Hair Tonic with olive oil.
Now, concerning next week, here again is Van Heflin.
Philip Marlowe paused in the stealthy darkness of the deserted brewery. There was invisible death lying in wait for him down in the bottom of the unused fermentation vat. But a very visible, dancing death was approaching behind him, dancing and weaving. And at the two risks, Philip Marlowe, unarmed and stunned, preferred the invisible one at the bottom of the great wooden vat.
Tonight's story was written by Milton Geiger, based on the famous character and modern detective fiction, Philip Marlowe, created by Raymond Chandler. The original music was composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. This is Wendell Niles inviting you to listen again next week at the same time to another exciting mystery on The Adventures of Philip Marlowe, starring Van Heflin with a distinguished cast.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Ohio football fans, picture this.
You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.